Thank you, choir. Thank you, thank you. We're going to now have a reading from the book of Psalms 118, and you may find it in your pew Bible on page 565 if you would like to read along with me. Oh, give thanks to Yahweh, for God is good. God's steadfast love endures forever. Let Israel say, God's steadfast love endures forever. Open to me the gates of saving justice that I may enter through them and praise Yahweh. For this is the gate of Yahweh. The just ones shall enter through it, and I thank you that you have answered me and have become my salvation. The stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This is Yahweh's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day that God has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Save us, O God, we pray. Yahweh, we beg you, help us to thrive. Blessed indeed is the one who comes in the name of Yahweh. We bless you from the house of the God. Yahweh is God, and God has given us light. Bind the festival procession with branches all the way up to the corners of the altar. For you are my God, and I will give thanks to you. You are my God, and I will extol you. Oh, give thanks to Yahweh, for God is good, for God's steadfast love endures forever. Let us rejoice and hear what the Spirit is saying. Amen.
Good morning. Would you join me in prayer, please? In mansions of glory and endless delight, I'll ever adore thee in heaven so bright. Be with us, Spirit God. Heal us. Strengthen us. Fill us with praise. Amen. I have been a wanderer throughout my life, as my father was, and his father before him. That's so much a part of me that my friend Jan once called me a bird without feet. I think I've lived in 16 different cities, and I haven't counted all the moves I've made within those cities. So it might surprise you that my favorite psalm is Psalm 84. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, indeed it faints, for the courts of the Lord. Even the sparrow finds a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young at your altars, my ruler, my God. Happy are those who live in your house, ever singing your praise. Even a wanderer like me yearns for home. I often tell my beloved Steve that he is home. And I find home at Grace, certainly among you. United Methodist Bishop Kenneth Carter calls the pull of home a yearning for the best of what has been and the anticipation of what can be. We hunger for the home we remember and long for the home of which we dream. Here in my favorite psalm and in our reading today, and thank you for that, Isabel, the writer is talking about the temple in Jerusalem. And for the people of Israel and Judea, whose memory is deliverance from Egypt, from Assyria, from Babylon, home is a very real longing. And so Jerusalem is home for the Jewish people. Psalm 118 today calls us to process with joy to meet the God of Israel at home, here in the temple. Oh, give thanks to Yahweh, for God is good. God's steadfast love endures forever. This is the gate of Yahweh. The just ones shall enter through it. We bless you from the house of the Lord. Bind the procession with branches up to the corners of the altar. Psalm 118 recalls God's past generosity and God's faithfulness. And so we wave palms and pray and trust God will continue to act faithfully for us, God's children. And the temple where God dwells is home. It is the hunger for the home Israel remembers and longing for the home of which Israel dreams. But on that first Palm Sunday, as Jesus reaches the end of his journey, Jerusalem does not really feel like the home Israel dreamed of. There is not much reason for festivals as Jesus finishes his wandering through Galilee, Israel, Judea. Rome rules. Jews are divided by politics, by judgment, by fear, by people fending for themselves. The common people, those who yearn for freedom, unite around this Jesus, this teacher, healer, miracle worker, and they do what we do, put our hopes in the salvation that God has promised. Welcome Jesus to Jerusalem as a king with palms and praise and hosannas. Save us, O Lord, we pray. Yahweh, help us to thrive. And after the hosannas, the first thing Jesus does is enter the temple, look around, reconnect to this most sacred of places. But during the next days, as Don Dillard so beautifully told, Jesus will make a scene in the temple, defying the powerful, the fearmongers and greedy in the marketplace, those living off of people's hopes and dreams. During his week in Jerusalem, Jesus will quote today's reading, Psalm 118. He will claim to be the cornerstone of a new covenant, and he will claim that the temple itself will be thrown down. In the face of Jesus' radical teaching, the powers that be will fear losing their status, their power, their safety. Common people will say, "We want power. We want to rule ourselves, even if it means dying for it." Rome will put this Jesus on trial and condemn him. His friends will abandon him, and in his dying, only women will remain. And as Jesus promises, the temple will be thrown down, destroyed once and for all by the powers of Rome, the powers of empire. And the people of Israel will be thrown into exile, wandering again. Hunger for the home Israel remembers, longing for the home of which Israel dreams. Jerusalem remains home for Israel and for Jews everywhere, and even after centuries of wandering. Elie Wiesel, whose writings about the Holocaust have moved peoples around the world to grow in understanding for this longing, writes, "There is no more moving prayer in Jewish history than the one expressing our yearning to return to Jerusalem. When a Jew visits Jerusalem for the first time, it is not the first time. It is a homecoming." Now, if you ask a Muslim believer about the significance of Jerusalem, you will hear that it was to Jerusalem where Muslims first turned to pray. And in Jerusalem is the mosque of the Temple Mount, the beautiful Dome of the Rock, to which Muhammad was transported from Mecca and then on to the seven heavens. Muslims will claim that its rule over Jerusalem for 12 centuries, longer than that of any other peoples, embedded Jerusalem's importance in its yearning for home. And what of faithful followers of Jesus? Jerusalem's Church of the Holy Sepulchre, which sits on the site where many Christians believe Jesus was crucified, buried, and then rose from the dead, is among the most holy ground for Christians, for whom contact with this sacred site is transformative. I don't need to number for you how far Christians, Muslims, Jews will go to fulfill their longing to claim the home for which they dream, each claiming that their need for free reign in Jerusalem is more important than the others, even if it means dying for it. And what about us? Here we are in this temple, in spite of cracks in the walls, the leaks around the windows, the regular plumbing problems. We keep coming to this temple with hopes that God will hear our prayer. We pray we are the just ones entering the gates of Yahweh. Do our lives proclaim that praise? Are we united around our discipleship? Do we serve one another? Do we teach our children here that this is the gate of Yahweh? The just ones enter through it. Do we show up at the temple but abandon our roles as disciples when we walk out the door or when we're threatened? Do we cling to those who believe like us, think like us, look like us? Oh, give thanks to Yahweh, for the Lord is good, for God's steadfast love endures forever. Dear friends, hear good news. The Lord is God. Yahweh has given us light. Jesus comes to Jerusalem as an act of praise, inviting an act of praise by those who know him best, his disciples, his followers, the women who have been so bold in their discipleship. They will lay before Jesus, before God, their hopes to enter the gates of justice, praising Yahweh. They will protest the rule of empires as little children did, waving palm branches, spreading their cloaks on the road before Jesus, and remembering the longing for a Messiah for home in Zechariah chapter 9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter Jerusalem. Lo, your king comes to you. Triumphant and victorious is he. Humble, riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. Bind the festival procession with branches up to the corners of the altar. Bind us together, Lord. Bind us together with cords that cannot be broken. During these days leading to his arrest, Jesus will break down the shame of his followers and teach them what discipleship looks like. He will raise the widow for giving her mite to the temple, even as he critiques the money changers and merchants. For all of them have contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all she had to live on. Jesus will eat a meal in the home of someone utterly other, Simon the leper. He will allow a woman to anoint him in ritual extravagance, in spite of his followers' grumbling. And then he will ordain her a priest, since only priests would anoint a new king. Jesus goes to Jerusalem, his spiritual home, and he will be buried there in the earth. Christians claim the Holy Sepulchre as its holiest site because where Jesus is buried, our past is also buried. And the future is retrieved from there. Remember that the root of the word home is humus, the earth. We are of the earth. Our home is sacred. So this procession to Jerusalem is essential. Even knowing that Jesus is going home to die, he knows that the future, the promised future of God, must be retrieved from there. So we continue to make pilgrimage and visit the place with reverence. In order to visit the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, Christians rely on two Muslim families who have been keepers of the keys and the doors for centuries. It was Muslim leaders centuries ago who promised to ensure that Christians and Jews could worship freely in this most sacred of sites, this most sacred of homes. Even today, the Dome of the Rock and the western wall of the temple provide hope for peoples, the daughters and sons of Abraham, bound together by our shared family legacy, our shared home. Bind us together, Lord. Bind us together, Lord. Bind us together with love. In the same manner, Grace, this place binds us together. Our dead are buried here in this home, this earth, if not in fact, then certainly in spirit. Joe Todd and Francis McCleskey, Delina Westergaard, Everett Morgan, Bill Bryan, so many others who have waved palms and praised God and created a family in this place. This memory is essential to preserve, so we preserve this sacred place. Home is not just for remembering the dead. It is for envisioning God's promised presence among us, even when it's hard to envision it these days. Again, Bishop Kenneth Carter writes, home is a state of being, belonging, becoming. The longing for home is the deep need to be anchored in a secure, restored past and pulled toward a transformed, fulfilled future. That yearning for home is God best beckoning us toward wholeness. We preserve this place called grace because grace has been a witness for justice, as Jesus longed that the temple could also be, should have been. The witness of so many of you marching yesterday with young and old, seeking an end to violence, is transformative. It is God's reign among us, waving palm branches in the face of division. And we continue that transformation here at Grace. Are we waving palm branches in praise throughout the year? Are we living in covenant with one another? Are we doing as Jesus taught, giving of our widow's mite, putting in everything we have, all we have to live on, in order to be family to one another? How about we eat a meal in the home of someone different, as Jesus does? Someone whose culture is different, whose politics is different, whose food is different. Join the community at Bonhoeffer House for a Wednesday meal, as many of you have, and see how members of that community hunger for home. Do we receive the love and care from those who wish to serve and praise by their presence, even as others grumble? Then do we ordain them to serve as God's people? Our children and our youth, you hunger for us to join you, and so many of you have attended to them so well. How might all of us love our children and youth better? Our sisters and brothers with ties to Burundi, Kenya, Congo, Tanzania, those who are truly wanderers, wish to gather more refugees to this place. How might we all help them, serve them, be home for the refugee? As we have wandered with Jesus and one another this Lent, we are bread for the journey for one another. And during this Holy Week, Jesus will call his disciples, Jesus will call us to give and to teach and to make a home for one another, even in the face of persecution and death. But we know how the story ends. Not in exile, not in wandering, but in home, in love. Let's join Jesus on his journey this week, his journey home. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. Amen.